16 months after Hurricane Katrina pounded the Gulf Coast and left New Orleans a mass of gutted neighborhoods, parts of the healthcare system in that city remain pretty much the way they've been since August 2005, broken. Both state and local governments have been unable to agree on how to replace Charity Hospital, which was severely damaged during the storm and serviced most of New Orleans' poor and uninsured. That's put severe strain on other hospitals in the city already struggling to provide care with limited resources. Karen DeSalvo is Chief of General Internal Medicine and Geriatrics at Tulane University and Special Assistant to the President for Public Medical Services. We've spoken to her many times since Hurricane Katrina, most recently when we went to New Orleans in May of this year. She joins us now from there at the studios of member station WWNO. And Dr. DeSalvo, it's nice to talk to you again. Season's greetings.
Season's greetings. Thanks for having me.
When last we spoke, you said primary care infrastructure still wasn't very good. Has it improved?
You know, it has improved. It's incremental and we still have a ways to go. But the absence of the charity system where most of the city's poor received care sort of led to the emergence of some neighborhood clinics that were very, you know, grassroots, organic entities that came up from card tables sort of that popped up on the street corners and from new partnerships that developed. And so though we've lost the cornerstone of what we had pre-storm, we have been able to recreate that in a way that I think is better for the city in the future.
And do you think that this is going to evolve, maintain, sustain, develop into something new?
You know, that was the big question, Neil, and maybe this past May, we had about 15 of these sites. We have about 23 now, so they are definitely growing. Some of them are still mobile clinics, you know, on sort of in vans, if you will, but most of them are in permanent structures. They're partnerships that are public-private partnerships that have financial sustainability, at least for the next couple of years, and we are all busy. Tulane has a clinic that we started at Covenant House. It's a free clinic, and we have just been busier. The longer we expand our hours, the more days we're open, the busier we get. So all of us are experiencing that same thing, and what we're trying to do is keep this innovation alive and go to the people for health care instead of making them come to us.
What about mental health? Charity Hospital used to take a sizable number of psychiatric patients, and of course, people's psyches under considerable stress in the past 18 months or so. What are the options for the mentally ill today?
Just a little bit of stress. You know, that was one of the things we did best at Charity Hospital was take care of particularly the severely mentally ill, people who don't have many other options and who often require hospitalization. We have not gotten that back up and running. A part of the Charity Hospital system is up, some of the outpatient clinics and a small version of the hospital, but that's not taking inpatient psychiatric care. So it continues to be a major concern for the healthcare community. For those people who are severely mentally ill, there's really very few hospital beds that they can go to in the area in its entirety, and they end up sort of waiting in the emergency room for days on end for an appropriate bed for their care.
Aftercare is another issue for people who are discharged from hospitals.
It still is an issue. Just like there are not enough places for people to live in general, there aren't enough facilities like nursing homes, for example, for folks to go to, or rehabilitation facilities, group homes, those sorts of places. So the backlog continues where people have difficulty getting discharged from hospitals. But I'll tell you, that really has improved in the past few months.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that most impressed me when we met in New Orleans late last spring was that despite all the problems, your belief and hope and resilience of not only the healthcare system, but the people of New Orleans to develop and find new solutions.
Oh, I think that's one of the best qualities of the people in New Orleans. We are nothing if not resourceful and innovative. And it has been a pleasure working with so many groups on the ground trying to get this thing going. I mean, even if the governments can't completely agree on the best thing to do with buildings and whatnot, we have not stopped. And we've recognized that there are public health needs, there's medical needs, and we have found very creative ways to make it happen in partnership with the patients as well.
But dealing with those big bureaucracies must be frustrating some of the time.
Well, sometimes. I mean, it can be immensely helpful. We have received some financial support from, you know, the federal, state, and city governments, but it has not really been as generous as probably some of the private support that we've received, which I think was surprising to me going into this storm. But all things considered, it's been a sort of a benefit because that private money, the foundation money, has given us the flexibility to be creative in developing these new medical homes, if you will, these neighborhood clinics, instead of being stuck stuck in the paradigm of the old traditional healthcare that was, you know, all paid for specific things in a specific way with a large set of rules, which is unfortunately how healthcare is. We've been able to be more creative, do home visits, for example, use mobile units to deliver care, do group visits, really try to experiment in ways, in a positive way, that to make healthcare much more patient-centered.
Dr. DeSalvo, thanks very much for speaking with us again.
Sure, thank you.
Karen DeSalvo, Chief of General Internal Medicine and Geriatrics at Tulane University, joining us today from the studios of member station WWNO in New Orleans. We're catching up each day this week at this time with people we met during the year, people who made news during the year. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans musicians, like the Jordan family, have continuously worked to preserve the rich musical heritage of that city. We heard a performance from the Jordans in our broadcast from New Orleans last May. They shared their personal stories of survival in the wake of Katrina. Three of those family members are back with us today. Rachel, Stephanie, and Marlon Jordan are also in the studios of member station WWNO in New Orleans. And nice to have you back on the program. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you.
The rebuilding stage, in some respects, just seems to be beginning. Rachel, you had your roof replaced?
That would happen 2 days ago. So,
2 days ago.
The rebuilding process is very slow.
Very slow, but it's finally getting done.
Well, that's just the first part of it. There's a lot more to be done. I just had to save what I have, with the roof being so severely damaged. If I didn't, try to get a roof on, the whole house probably would have had to been knocked down. So it was more of a preventative thing so that my whole house wouldn't be destroyed by all the rain and elements.
And Stephanie, as I understand it, you're still waiting for your house to be gutted.
Yeah, I'm going to have it gutted in a couple of days. So I'm excited about that, I guess.
I guess. It's got to be a mixed feeling in a bit of a way.
Oh, yeah. I cried a lot when I realized that, my little dream home would be changing. But, everybody's dream home was changed and gutted. It's a strange thing, but it's progress.
Mm-hmm. Marlon, is the family still scattered?
Yeah. I was thinking about it at Christmas, how all my cousins and everybody, we came together at one of my other cousins' house on the West Bank, and how everybody's just all over the place, in different places in Louisiana. My dad and mom in Baton Rouge, and my sisters in Baton Rouge, and, my other brothers, that wasn't here, So, yeah, I was, just thinking about that, and, the family is still scattered.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys manage to get most of yourselves together for Christmas holiday?
Yeah, we did. We did do that, so I was glad about that, and a lot of my cousins, I saw at Christmas time, and it was a real good time.
That's nice to hear. When we broadcast with you folks from New Orleans in May, there was a sense of hope we heard from you guys. Do you feel that mood is still there, or has it changed? Stephanie?
Well, I still live in Maryland, paperwork. I submitted my Louisiana recovery papers and that sort of thing. Still sort of working things out with the insurance companies. Visited my house last week. It's difficult because it's so quiet, It's a whole community that's gone. And that quiet is so deafening. It's so daunting. I'm hopeful, but you look at a whole community and it's a resurrection of an entire community that's pretty much dead. We lived in New Orleans East, which is part of the Ninth Ward, not the lower Ninth Ward, that was really devastated. Most of our homes are bricked homes. So we survived, the houses came out, of the storm. But the flooding and the devastation, just removed people, removed everything. So an entire community has to be rebirthed. And then, when you read the local papers, of course, I'm away and I come in, the first thing I want to do is actually read the papers. And you sit there and you read about this fighting between local, state, and federal representatives, and you go, okay, so when politicians fight, the people suffer.
Yeah. Marlon, we just have a few seconds left, but that silence that Stephanie was talking about, does that extend to the nightclubs and the arena halls there in New Orleans? Is there work?
There's work, but there's a, you know, still it's hard to make a living down here. You know, I still don't play down here, maybe, but maybe once a month. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, that the people are not here to support it. And, you know, it's just a, it's still, it's a rough time. You know, we still need the help. So, you know, like I was, like my sister said, you know, we, the politicians need to get together and work this thing out.
Well, thanks to you all. And we wish you good luck with construction and good luck with finding work in the new year. Thanks for being with
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marlon, Stephanie, and Rachel Jordan of the Jordan family. They joined us today from the studios of member station WWNO in New Orleans. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.